Start by saying before I start talking about discipline on the bus and things like that, let me start out by saying, you know, sometimes people get discouraged because of numbers and things like this. But let me say, you know, Jesus, He spoke to thousands and thousands of people. But when it all came down to it, He only had 12 disciples. I don't know. For me, I don't believe Jesus only wanted 12. I believe He'd have been happy with 24, 36, 48. He wanted to make disciples, but He only had 12 people out of all the people that He could trust. And so this morning, we have that. And even with that, Jesus said one time, "Will ye go away also?" When the crowd left. And so, it's just a remnant of people. Clayton Road Baptist Church and our B buses, we'll run 600, 700, 800 different times. And with running that, we'll have 60 workers. We'll only have 60 workers then. And then out of those 60 workers, we'll probably have 25 adults. That's it. 25 adults. The rest of those are teenagers. And so sometimes when we compare, everybody looks at grass greener on the other side. Most of the time it's because it's over top of the septic tank. And so you can't always compare. And so the workers we have today is enough to see a large bus ministry in this church and in this town. So please be encouraged about that. We'll start today with discipline on the bus and in Sunday school. It's a little bit getting the cart before the horse here, because we'll go over bus and we'll go over Sunday school in a minute. But discipline is, I have more questions on discipline than anything else. The pamphlet he just gave you, Welcome to the Bus Ministry, I've already started on my next one on discipline. I get more questions on discipline than anything. I've heard some of the craziest questions you ever heard in your life from discipline. One guy asked me, said, I was teaching at the National Bus Convention, and I said, anybody have questions? And this guy said, I have a question. He raised his hand. I said, all right, brother. Yes, sir. He said, and you know, he was one of those guys, he didn't really have a question. He wanted to tell me something. And he wanted to tell my idea, older fellow, and he said, now, one thing I've done at my church, and I can't believe what I'm about to tell you, he said, but I'm telling word for word, honestly, God is an evangelist. Wait a second, let me restate that. As a preacher, because evangelist, that's, I don't know. You know, evangelistically speaking, we have about 100 here this morning. But anyway, he got up and he said, I've learned that if I have a kid that's misbehaving, if I put him in the corner and make him hold his hands up like that and hold some books on his hands, he'll behave better later. I was like, buddy, that's pretty close to abuse right there. I've never heard of that in my life. So I've heard some of the craziest things of discipline you ever heard in your life. But every time I sit down and I think about discipline, and if I go through a Sunday and I think about discipline and I really go through discipline, this is what I find. Now, I don't know if you brought anything to take notes on today. I can give you some of my notes later. I don't mind to do that, or I'll give it at least a copy of all of them to you later, and you can pass them out as you want. But discipline starts with one thing, and truth be told, you may not want to hear this, but it's what you need to hear. Discipline starts with being proactive. Proactive. 90% of all problems don't come just because they chose to be bad. They come because of there's nothing going on and they're going to do something. Especially on the bus. No songs being sung, no games being played, no activities going on. And so they're just left to themselves. The Bible talks about a child left to itself to bring his mother and father shame. And so a kid left himself on the bus or in a time of Sunday school class is going to have problems. Being proactive. Proactive means taking care of the problem before it starts. You know, they got that company Proactive that they deal with acne. And they make thousands and thousands of dollars. But their slogan is, Buy it now. They don't want you to wait till you have problems. They want you to buy it now. They say, if you'll use this now, you won't get acne later. And that is good stuff. I remember, I mean, even when I was a teenager, Proactive was starting out and it was getting strong. I used the stuff and it was great. And they say, don't quit using it. Don't quit using it. And I didn't. It was great. But that's what we need to be in the bus ministry. Number one, in being proactive, we need to be prepared for a bus programmer class. Prepared. Now, I'm not talking prepared mentally. I'm talking prepared physically. And preparation doesn't get done at 9:55 in the morning. Your Sunday school starts at 9. It doesn't get done at 8:50, 8:55 in the morning. Preparation many times won't happen if you wait till 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. Preparation begins many times on Monday morning after a Sunday. On Mondays, Mondays for me, I'm always excited. For some reason, I can get up on Monday morning after Sunday. Even after staying up late, I can get up on Monday morning because I've got so much adrenaline still going from the weekend. And Monday, I'll spend all Monday thinking and working on what happened Sunday. Did I have a problem? I don't want that problem to happen next week. Did something go wrong? How can I do this better next week? And so Monday morning, and I'll think about that during the weekend, then on Saturday morning, I'll start preparing. Today's the day to buy snacks for tomorrow, not tomorrow. Today's the day to prepare your lesson for tomorrow, not tomorrow. Today's the day to prepare all the different things, the coloring pages, or the snacks, or the songs. Today's the day. If you start thinking about Monday, my dad said a long time ago, he said that I learned that if I knew what I was going to preach on Monday morning for the next Sunday, I found that all week long, every day, something would happen. As an illustration, I would be preaching on prayer, and then on Monday morning I'd be praying and a prayer would be answered. And I say, wow, Don, man, you're really leading toward this sermon on prayer on Sunday. Tuesday morning, something bad would happen. We'd pray and God would give me grace. Wednesday day, something wouldn't happen and God would help me. And he said, I found out if I started preparing for Sunday on Monday morning, God would always lead me in illustrations. And it's the same thing with the bus ministry. If you start preparing mentally on Monday and physically on Saturday, you'll be prepared. Preparing for bus programming class. Letter A, establish rules and make them known. You have to establish rules and make them known. I'll go over some rules in just a second. But under number one, letter A, establish rules and make them known. You have to have a set of rules, and they have to be known. Number two, make rules visible. Make rules visible. There needs to be a poster on the wall on your bus. There needs to be a poster on the wall in your class that say the rules. It needs to be up. In class sometimes, though, instead of having a poster, you may have a poster, but you may take it down so you can quiz them over the rules and have some fun like that. But have the rules visible. I'll tell you my rules that I give in Sunday school. This is my junior church rules. Number one is no talking while I'm talking. No talking while I'm talking. That's my rule number one. And sometimes I'll have people talk. I'm a little OCD, so this has got to match up with the lines and the carpeting. But number one, no talking while I'm talking. And while I'm giving these rules, if somebody's talking, I'll say, now listen, kids, let me give you an example of breaking this rule. See, those kids over there that are talking, that's against the rules. You can't do that. You know, like on the Three Stooges or Daffy Duck where he says, none of this, we'll have a fair fight, and none of this, and none of this, and none of this, and none of this. Well, that's sometimes how I do my rules. And none of this. And so, number one, no talking while I'm talking. Number two, stay in your seat unless you get permission. Stay in your seat unless you get permission. And before I start preaching, I'll say, now listen, I'm about to start preaching. I know I say stay in your seat unless you get permission, but for the next 20 minutes, nobody's getting permission. Or the next few minutes. Don't want to depress them, 20 minutes. But the next few minutes, and because sometimes if they're behaving good and we're having a good time in the lesson, it'll be 30 minutes. And then sometimes it'll be 10. Just because. That's all they could take that day. but stay in your seat unless you give permission. Number three, keep your hands and feet to yourself and your own seat. Keep your feet off the seat in front of you. Keep your hands and feet to yourself. Number four, no electronics. And I always say something like this, no electronics. Now, ladies, that means take your laptop that you brought with you today and leave it in your purse. Sweetheart, if daddy calls you, sir, if the president calls you, you're just going to have to call him back later, all right? No electronics during class. And number five, my favorite, now make sure you're paying attention to this. If you brought fried chicken to church, you have to share it with Brother Joel. You have to. That's the rule. And then for a while, if you bring Doritos to church, you have to share them with Brother Joel. My rules are not to beat people over the head. I always say rules aren't to make sure no one has fun, but to make sure everyone has fun. And I'll say that to my kids. That is my philosophy. Rules are to make sure no one has fun, but to make sure everyone has fun. To make sure everyone has fun. You know, if I got a couple kids that are doing something in a school or in college, or they're disobeying the rules one way or the other, I hate to make rules that punish everybody else. I'll just get rid of a couple of problems. I don't like to make rules that punish everybody else. Rules aren't to make sure no one has fun. It's to make sure everyone has fun. For a while, I taught, we have two different sets of bus routes at Clayton Baptist Church. We have the B set of bus route, which is all the laymen. And then we have the C bus route, which is our college workers and some laymen on there too. But our college workers, and I taught a C junior church for a long time. Well, the day came where I had to step down from that class, and man, I didn't want to, but they said, well, it's about time for you. You know, you're graduating college, or I had already graduated college. I have a new person I'd like to be able to be in there. I was like, okay. So I went to class that day, and I was like, well, I'm sorry. This is going to be my last day. We got a group picture with everybody. And as soon as I said, this is going to be the last day, a little girl in the second row, a little black girl, put her hand on her hip, and she said, and I was going to bring you fried chicken next week. I hadn't even gone over the rules that week. And so I have fun with my rules. I even have fun with my rules. I'm not trying to be Mr. Meanie. I am trying to have fun and to make sure everybody has fun. And so when I say I'm going to do rules, you know, I've always heard discipline without instruction is abuse. The definition of abuse is discipline without instruction. So I don't discipline kids for doing something unless I've instructed them first. And with children, yeah, but I told them that 2 weeks ago. I told them that last week. I know, but you're going to have to tell them, probably instruct them one more time. And so make sure that you go over the rules. Go over the rules. Number one, preparing for a bus program or class. Number two, I've gone over some positive and friendly. Approach the rules with a positive attitude. I already said the rules aren't to make sure no one has fun, to make sure everyone has fun. Positive and friendly. Truth be told, you've probably heard the statement before, but people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care. These kids, truth be told, they don't give a rip about what you got to teach. They don't. I mean, they want to learn about Jesus, yeah, but a lot of times, they don't care about what you want to tell them. Until they know about how much you care. The biggest thing you can do for discipline is to have a relationship with them prior to Sunday school. The biggest thing you can do for discipline on the bus is to develop a relationship with them on Saturday prior to Sunday. That is the biggest way to keep discipline from having to happen. Discipline is what we don't want. So anytime we can keep from having discipline, that's what we do. Number three, just simply be proactive. Be proactive. The best discipline is not to need discipline. Stay busy. Keep them busy. And then this is letter C underneath that, be proactive. And this is what I use more than anything. I control volume. I control volume. If I can control the volume of them, many times I can control them when I'm preaching. This is what I'm saying. I'll start out with a loud song. Oh, Captain Jack. I'll repeat some. Oh, Captain Jack. And then they'll repeat in loud song. And we'll start out jumping up. As long as I can keep them jumping up when the same time I'm jumping up and sitting down the same time I'm sitting down, I love them to sit down. One of my favorite songs is If You Love... No, wait. That's not it. It is a... Stand Up and Shout It If You Love My Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. And then the next verse is, sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. And then next time you mix it, stand up and shout it, sit down and whisper, stand up and shout it, sit down and whisper. And you mix it up. I'll let the kids stand up. I'll let the kids scream. As long as they're screaming when I'm screaming and they're sitting down when I'm sitting down. And so that is one of my first songs that I'll do, especially in a class, especially in the class setting. The first song you may sing is Old Captain Jack or Old Soldier, or there's a ton of songs. I actually have a song book that I can, if you have email, I can email your song book. It's got about 150 bus songs in it. And so I can email you that before I leave, and I just couldn't print it for everybody. And I can't sell it. We don't have copyrights, but I just have all the words to all of them. And if you get that and you don't know a tune, ask me. But I use those songs, and then I'll get to that one song, and that's always my transition song. Stand up and shout it, sit down and whisper. Because what I'm doing now is I'm taking the energy that I created, and I'm taking that energy and I'm changing it. I'm changing it to obedience. We're going to have fun sitting down. Then I'm going to take that energy, and then I'm going to sing a good Bible song and sing it real loud. Then I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take that, and we're going to sing a soft song. And I create an energy. A lot of times, what happens is in a Sunday school, in junior church, or even on the bus ministry, we'll sing a song that's just wild and crazy, but then we can't get them to come down. We created our own problem. We got them nuts. We gave them even the donuts. And now we can't get them to be good. And so sometimes we create our own discipline problems. And so, if you'll think about it, when you sing those crazy songs, you need to have a couple songs that are transitional songs. Stand up and shout it, sit down and whisper. And then if I still can't get their attention real good, I may sing that again, and when I mix it up, it'll be all whisper. Stand up and shout it, sit down and whisper. If you love my Lord, I want to know, I want to know. If you love my Lord. And now I'll say, all right, we're going to sing it handy, retarded style or something like that. You got to be careful. If you got a handicapped person in your class or someone who's very sensitive to that, which I know, and I'm never make light of handicap. That's a terrible thing to make light of. But I'll say, and so we'll say, sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. We'll sing it real slow. And they're having fun, but what I'm doing is I'm trying to control them, alright? Trying to control them. Number four in discipline is act, don't react. Never react. Most of the time, the biggest discipline problems happen because somebody, instead of acting on a problem, alright, this kid's misbehaving. First thing we're going to do, we've talked together, and I'll go over some of this in a little bit together, but we've taught this kid misbehaving. The first thing is we're going to need to move him. We're going to need to move him beside a worker over there. He's talking to him, so we're going to move him. We're going to do some crazy song, and while this song's going, this worker is going to go move them while the song's going on. We're not going to, all right, everybody stop. Let's all look at these people right here and ruin my whole class, everything I've worked. And let's move that person right there. Well, then I just destroyed everything I've created. And so, all right, Now let's go ahead and sing. Everybody stand up. Let's sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. Repeat style. And worker, if you don't mind, to move this kid right here while we sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. And then we'll sing while the discipline is being taken place. Instead of saying, all right, everybody pause. Let's stop. Let's take care of this problem. And let's create, how many? We got 10 other people in here. So let's create 10 more problems while we take care of this. Because everybody's bored and waiting and talking. And so I'm just telling you some different things. You act. You don't react. Most problems happen because a worker loses his temper. A worker, instead of reacting to the problem, the actions is he needs to move. On the bus, the actions is that kid has to move to the front of the bus beside this worker, beside the secretary, right behind the driver, whatever you want to get together and plan. The next action is, listen, if you do that again, we're going to have to talk to your parents. That's action. Reaction is, why won't you sit down? I told you to sit down 5 times, and you won't sit down. And then they stand up because now you've provoked them, and they're angry. And then the dumbest thing you can ever do is put your hands on them and push them back down. Now you've created a problem really big. You could have simply said, all right, let's go back. Come on. He just wouldn't sit down. Now you go. Now you've created such a problem. You go back to the parents. You take them down. Hey, mommy, he pushed me. He pushed me in the seat. And they're mad. The kid's mad at you. You're mad at them. And mom's mad at you, not the kid. Mom's not gonna say, well, son, you probably deserve being pushed. No, mom's not gonna say that. Mom's gonna say, You pushed my child? Well, you can't lie. No, I didn't push you. You're a Christian. Yes, ma'am. He went and sat down, and I pushed him back in the seat. That's not right. You can't do that. The only time in discipline that you can touch a child is if they're literally going to kill themselves or somebody else. I mean, if a kid's going nuts, you just got to let him lay on the floor and go nuts and move everybody else away. Nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is if he's going to run out in the street or he's about to punch someone else, you can restrain him. And most of the time, the thing you can do is grab his wrist. Barely. That's it. And I mean, I'm nervous about even telling you to do that. I don't want you to say, oh, well, brother, I did this and Brother Joel said I could, and you go to court and get in trouble. But you have to be very careful about restraining a child. And most of that happens because we took a problem and we blew it up. We reacted instead of just action. And I'll say something like this. I'll say, now listen, son, you just cursed. And he said, no, you cursed. I heard you. He heard you. He heard you. Now the rule says no cursing. No cursing. No bad language on the bus. Now listen, according to the rules, I'm going to give you a warning. I don't want to hear that again. Next time you're going to have to move up front. And so, the rules is the bad guy, not me. But if you don't have them posted, then you're the bad guy. Number 5, punishments. Punishment. When does someone actually get in trouble? Here's an important thing to write under punishment. Someone gets in trouble when they break a rule. Not when they get on your nerves. Okay? They break a rule when they get in trouble, not when they get on your nerves. Just because they're on the bus and they keep on, they're pestering you or something, that just, or they're getting on your nerves, or maybe your nerves were short that day, you didn't get to have enough coffee that morning, or Red Bull, whatever it is to get yourself awake, and you choke, and they're in trouble when they break the rules, not when they get on your nerves. You have to just choose to not let people get on your nerves. And so, all right, let me give you 6 rules for the bus. Let me give you 6 bus rules that are posted on my bus. Number 1, stay in your seat. Very simple. Number 1, stay in your seat. Number 2, no fighting. No fighting. I have this as a rule. You say that should be a general rule. Well, I know, but I have this as a rule because I don't allow play fighting either. Okay, I don't allow play fighting. Oh, we're just playing. I've never seen a play fight that didn't end up real. It just always happened. They always end up, well, you know, they're playing, and all of a sudden one of them really gets punched. They're like, man, I don't know if he's playing anymore. So they really punch him back. He's like, man, I was playing, but man, I don't think he's playing anymore. And then before you know it, they're fighting for real. So no fighting. Number three, no headphones or music players. I cannot control. Now, most school kids, when they get on the school bus on Monday morning, they all come home with headphones and music players. And that's what they do all the way to school. It just, I mean, you'll see a school bus pass by and half of them at least have earbuds in their ears. But we don't want that bad junk rock music on our bus. So no headphones or music players. And number four, no bad language. No bad language. I put no bad language instead of cursing because I've had some kids that haven't cursed, but they were talking dirty. And so no bad language. Number five, stay in the window. Stay in the window, and then I'll write even beside that hand and voice. Don't yell out the window. Stay in the window. Stay in the window. Number six, smile. And I always put that on there. Because as I said, rules aren't to make sure no one has fun, but rules are to make sure that everyone has fun. Everyone has fun. Let me now give you the steps of punishment that I will write out on that same poster board up front. I'll write steps of punishment so everybody knows what they are. Number one, the first thing I'll write out is warning. Warning. Every kid deserves a warning. Now, sometimes I will give a second and third warning on some cursing. And the reason being is there's a difference when a little boy or a little girl, it just they're trying to be mean, they curse. And then there's a difference in they hear cursing every single day, and it's just, and they accidentally, and this really happens, a kid will accidentally curse in his just normal language. He'll say a sentence, not even angry. He'll say a sentence and curse in his normal language. He'll say, all right, now you can't say that. And they may do it again. And so if they're cursing because they're angry and mad, then that's one thing, all right? So a warning. Number two, move to the front of the bus. Move to the front of the bus. Move them to the front of the bus. Or in Sunday school, move them to a different seat. A lot of times, if you try to move a kid to a different seat in class, it hardly ever works. You make them mad by moving them. You almost every time have to just move them out of class. So, but move to the front of the bus or move out of class. Number three, talk to their parents. Talk to their parents. This doesn't always mean a suspension, but a lot of times it does. But talk to their parents. You'll get to know the kids, and you'll know there's some parents that if I tell them, they will take care of the problem. They'll take care of the problem. They'll give them a spanking. There's some parents that I know that I never tell them because they're going to beat their child. And that's no joke. There's some parents I will, if they kids get in trouble, I take care of the suspension or on the bus or something like that. Don't give them the treat or something like that, because the parents will beat them or something like that. And so I'm very careful. It's relationship with the people is one of the most important things you can do. And then fourth of all, suspension. And so warning, move to the front of the bus, suspension. I mean, talk to the parents, and then suspension. I try not to do suspension. The reason being is, if they're being bad, the last thing they need is to be told you can't come to church. They need church. But at the same time, we discipline because not only does that one kid need church, all the kids need church. So I don't want all the kids not to get church because that one kid doesn't want to be there. And so you have to discipline wisely, ask Lord for wisdom. All right, penalties. As I said, I hate to suspend people from church before church because church is what they need. Church is what they need. And if they get kicked out of class, though, it is an automatic talk to the parents and 1 week suspension. If a kid gets kicked out of class, it's automatically talk to the parents and usually a 1 week suspension. There's sometimes maybe no suspension. Sometimes you may do this. Sometimes if a kid is being bad in class, next week, instead of letting him come back to his class, he has to sit with like an adult in church. in the adult Sunday school class. I don't know how your Sunday school program is set up here at 9 o'clock. I don't really know that, but maybe they'll have to go to another class. A class they're not comfortable in. A class, if they go to adult class, they're probably just gonna sit there with that worker and be bored to death. It depends on the kid. And so if a kid just has a mischievous attitude, that's one thing. But if he has a rebellious attitude, that's another. And it's hard to correct a rebellious attitude. Depending on parents, maybe no suspension. Repeat offenders may need harsher punishment. I don't consider myself a really good disciplinarian. I feel like I'm a little soft. I hate to suspend kids. I hate kids get in trouble. And so I counteract that with doing my best to try to keep them out of trouble. And I've got my wife, on the other hand, balances me out in a lot of that. She said, "Now listen, that kid really does need punishment." I'm like, but I don't know. Are you sure? She's like, "Yeah, that kid did this. Yeah, okay. You know, you're right." And we'll talk about it. Now, my wife never corrects me in public, and I appreciate that. She's kind. We have a great relationship. She lets me lead. You know, that's how it is. Any man that leads is because the wife lets him. But truth be told, me and her, we have private conversations, and you know, on Sunday night, sometimes we'll be up late talking about, "I don't know, what do you think? You think we should?" Let's go over it again. "What do you think?" And we'll go over this, and we'll talk about it. "But you know their mom. You know what she's going to do." "Well, yeah, I know that. And we'll just go over it. In relationship with the people is what makes that special and what makes it different. Because that's what we need to be developing. We don't need to be developing in attendance. We need to try to be developing relationships with these parents, relationships with these kids. And that's where we'll really make a difference for a long time. And so, anyway, I teach, now my class, right now I'm part of a huge junior church. Our church just remodeled a few months ago. And so we lost some classroom space, but we gained it back in other ways. But all that to be said, so I'm in a big junior church. But for years and years, I taught the 10 and up class. And if a kid got in trouble in another class, what I would do is I'd make him attend my class. And so our 7, 8, 9-year-old teacher, he was somewhat of a really, really, really strict disciplinarian. And he didn't want to, but he would react a lot instead of act. And so they'd get in trouble. And normally, it was always legit. They'd get in trouble. And so I said, "Listen, now, you can come back next week, but you have to come to my class." And most of the time, they'd come to my class and they'd behave. They would behave because they knew. I knew their mama real good. And so, all right, next, and probably the most important, you have to pray for wisdom and guidance. Pray for wisdom and guidance. The answer to discipline is what many times what the Holy Spirit tells you what you need to do. Now, you have set rules, and you have set disciplinary actions, but you have to pray for wisdom and guidance when to use those set rules and when to use those set reactions. Let me teach you one more principle, and then we'll move on to the next subject. Let's see, this is supposed to go to 10:10. So we've got just a few more minutes. This is probably the biggest rule, principle, that if you apply this principle, I believe it'll help you more than anything I've said today. If a kid is misbehaving to himself, let it go. Let it go. If a kid is misbehaving to other people, you need to deal with it. If Susie's sitting here in the front seat, and Susie is not paying, she's not singing, she's not paying a word of what you're teaching, not doing a thing what you're doing, but she's there playing with her fingernails, or she's just staring at the ceiling, or she's fiddling with her flip-flops or whatever, and moving them from feet to feet and around, And she's misbehaving. She's not paying attention. She's not doing anything. But she's messing up. But this kid's being good, and that kid's being good, and that kid's being good, and that kid's being good. Don't discipline her. Let it go. Discipline her after. After class, say, listen, you didn't pay attention in class today. Now, you need to pay attention. What did I teach today? You'd be surprised sometimes they'll tell you. You didn't think they paid attention today, and they'll tell you. But they may not be able to tell you. But you don't want to lose everybody else. Now, if this girl's doing that thing, and because she's doing that, this person's misbehaving, this person's watching her, what she's doing, and this person's, then I'll do something about it. I'll do something about it. So I used to have a couple workers that they drive me nuts, because I'd be up here preaching. I'd have this one girl sleeping on the front row, sleeping. And when she's sleeping on the front row, I'm preaching. And so now a worker, maybe in that bright yellow shirt, I don't know, but a worker stands up, walks all the way up here, says, "Hey, wake up, pay attention now. We're at church." And walks all the way back there. She blocked several people's view on her way up. But and everybody, what's going on? And she destroyed my whole class. One girl was sleeping. She wasn't bothering anybody. She wasn't snoring. Let her go. And so, if a kid's misbehaving to themselves, let it go. And if they're misbehaving to others, then that's when we apply this rule to college discipline. If a kid's doing something that they shouldn't be doing, but they get in trouble, but we'll give them grace. But if they're leading people, other people to misbehave, then something needs to be done right away. And so apply that principle, and I hope that'll help you. I hope that'll help you. All right, we've got a few more minutes, just a couple more minutes here, but we will take a little tiny break, just enough to take a sip of water. Anybody have any questions on discipline? Now, I know I talked earlier about, I've heard some of the craziest questions. Just ask anyway. If you got a question, just ask it. Let her go. Let her fly. About discipline. Bus, Sunday school, in church, junior church. If you got discipline, and if you think of a problem, a question about today, and if I'm teaching, and you just write it down, because you'll probably have a good question that would really, truth be told, if you ask me a question, I could probably help you more precisely with what you need than me just rambling. Yeah.
Here we give fellowship cash.
Oh, okay.
They bring your Bibles, that type of thing.
Love it. Yeah.
Is it a good idea or not to take that away if they misbehave?
If they misbehave, well, let's say it like this. All right. In class, mm-hmm. They're misbehaving in class, and you're trying to decide if you want to take their fellowship cash away. Sometimes this is what I would say. I might say, "Now listen, you're going to lose your fellowship cash." It all depends on if it causes a bigger problem. See, sometimes what happens is, if you actually do it, then you lose it. Sometimes they'll go nuts, and you'll lose that kid all the way. So sometimes what you need to do is just threaten them, and then. Because normally taking away doesn't make them act better. But let's say you really do. You don't want to say, "Well, I'm not going to discipline because I don't want to make them worse." Wait till class is over and say, "Listen, I told you if you didn't get better, and I'm going to take it away now." Instead of taking away right then during class, wait till after class and say, "Now listen, discipline is discipline. You were misbehaving. And now I'm going to do what I told you to do." And so instead of causing the bigger problem here, you take care of it later. And she'll remember that for next week. She'll remember that for next week because you said, "Now listen, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do what I told you I was going to do." So sometimes if I take it away right now, I say, "Now listen, I'm going to take it away and I'm just going to sit it here. And if you behave, I'll give it back to you." And you sit it there, that'll help them. But some kids, that kid's already really wild today. If I threaten to take away their cash, they're going to even go crazier. So I'll just sort of, "Now listen, I'll take it away if you're not behaving. And then do what you said you'd do later." And so instead of causing a bigger problem. But that's why I'm saying it all goes back to knowing that child, knowing how they're going to react. There's some kids, you know, if you threaten, they'd be, oh, no, please, I'll be good. There's some kid you can take it away and say, I'm going to sit it right here in my lap where you can see it. If you're good, I'll give it back. And then there's some kids you know they don't deserve it, but I'm going to take it away later when the bigger problem's in the hallway. So you have to know that kid and which reaction and try to figure out which reaction. And sometimes you guess wrong, and that's fine. If you guess wrong, and then you did what you're supposed to do. You deal with the problem and try to move on. But, you know, but yeah, that's how I would do, depending on the kid there. Because, like, just a few weeks ago, we had a junior church that was just absolutely terrible. One of the worst junior churches I've ever been a part of. Kids were nuts. It was the week after Easter. So that would have been, was that last week or the week before? I can't remember. But they were crazy. They had eaten sugar all week long. They had eaten candy after candy, and they were nuts. I mean, good kids were not being good. And that was crazy. And there are these one kids that you either have to remove them or just try to isolate them. There's no way you're going to discipline them and them get better. There was no way I was disciplined. They were not. No threat was going to make them better. I had to either remove them all the way, and that's what I ended up removing one and isolating the other. And the room was big enough I could move them back, and people couldn't hear him fidgeting around with himself in the back row. But in this class, your doors are up front, and so that would make it difficult. That would make it difficult to do. But if the doors are in your back, then sometimes you can put them in the back row or whatever. But you can't get as many seats in this room if you did it opposite. So you can only, because of the doors, you couldn't put seats there. So, but anyway, so, but that's, that being said, you got to decide what to do. So I took the one out, isolated the other, and then the group of kids that were really not being very good, there were so many of them, I just sort of, If I walked up there, this one was going to even distract. Even ones that were going to be good were going to be bad. So I let some of the bad things just go. At the end, we made some change. We said, listen, this kid's going to have to. And then last week they were really good. Last week they finally got all that sugar out of their system, I think, from Easter. But because Easter. They had, my goodness, they had so many Easter egg hunts in my city on Easter. I mean, the park, the library, Mama, Susie, Aunt Laura, everybody had Easter egg hunt, and everyone, candy after candy after candy. They were nuts. All right, I guess right now it is